my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 10. We're going to be reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words will appear on your screen. But let us all read these two verses together. Two of the most important verses of Scripture, in my opinion, that we could ever have. Ready? Here we go. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of salvation. I pray that this day that you would ingrain in us, help us to have a better understanding of the gift of salvation and what it means to be saved. We pray that you would move me aside, Holy Spirit, and that you would come in and teach this word so that it is relevant and powerful for every person that's in this room. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen, amen. So last week we started talking about what does it mean to be saved. And as we talked about what does it mean to be saved, we talked about that word in the Greek, saved, does not just mean, hey, I'm going to go to heaven. But that it means, in the Greek word is sozo, S-O-Z-O, which means that we have protection, we have favor, we have covering, we have deliverance, we have healing, we have everything we need, soundness, prosperity, happiness, general well-being. All of this comes when you open your mouth and declare that I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that he died on the cross for my sins. And that one little word is so powerful. We talked last week about how it's used so many different times in the Bible when someone gets healed. When a person gets healed, the Bible says that word healing or made well is sozo, meaning they got a complete healing. When you came to Jesus, Jesus didn't just say, I just want to punch your ticket to heaven. Let me just get your airline ticket so when you die, you know where you're going. That's not what he did. He came so that you can have abundant life right here on earth, so that you can be well, you could be happy, you could be whole, you could live in prosperity. You don't have to be struggling physically. You don't have to be dealing with sickness. Jesus came to bring all of that to us. And so many times we just say, I'm saved, and we walk around depressed. If I'm saved, there's no reason for me to be depressed. Because if I'm saved, that means that there's going to be a future realization. Maybe I don't see it right now, but we talked last week that sometimes that means that God is waiting because you can't handle it right now. Right? Like your kids get all your money when you die. But you can't give it to them now. Number one, because they ain't going to act right. And number two, then you ain't going to have nothing to live on for the rest of your life. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't belong to them in the future. And salvation saying that everything you need, you have. You may not see it right now, but there will be a realization where at some point you will get everything you need when God is saying it's time. And that's the exciting part about salvation. And so we started looking at verses about that. We looked at the woman who was healed with the issue of blood. And we looked at how Jesus said in how she got healed, but not only did she get healed from the issue of blood, her whole life got better when she got healed. Because now she's no longer an outcast because she's been healed. Now she can have friends. Now she's not spending money on doctors, so now she can start working on her financial wealth. All of that came when Jesus says she was made well. Sozo. Then we looked at Luke chapter 4. Where Jesus showed up, and we talked about Jesus, put this on the screen, Luke 4, 18. Jesus shows up and tells you what his purpose is when he pops up. Now, I want you to notice that when Jesus showed up, he didn't just say, my purpose is so you can go to heaven. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, and here's what he's come to do. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and I proved to you last week that that means that poor folks ain't going to be poor no more. Not just the gospel, like, hey, poor people, you get saved. Good luck with that now. You get a ticket to heaven. Jesus is like, no, I don't want you to be poor forever. I got a breakthrough for you. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So those who have broken hearts, Jesus said, I come to heal that, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Does that say I came so I can give you a ticket to heaven? No, that came so we can have an abundant life. And so we've been talking about that. And then we started looking at seven reasons or seven things that we receive when we come to Christ through the cross and salvation. And so I'm going to recap the first three, and then that'll bring us up to speed with where we are. Everybody say amen. I know I'm moving fast, but I want to get to the good stuff. Ready? The first thing we said last week was salvation and the cross deals with both sin and its consequences. It deals with both sin and its consequences. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, which means every time you lie, somebody ought to strike you dead. Yeah, nobody want to say it. Because y'all too scared. That, I bet you people start lying. We might not have an impeachment hearing if that was the case. Should I stay away from that? Yeah. Okay. Every time you mess up, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Death being a separation from God. And then from the first death, when it came to Adam and Eve, it meant a physical progressive death that was happening. And yet, salvation, sozo, Jesus died on the cross, said, you know what? All that sin, I'm taking care of the penalty for you. All the stuff, you don't have to die. I'm going to die in your place. Which I was like, cool, because I personally ain't looking forward to having somebody kill. Like, I don't want to just die. And it did happen in the Bible. I just think about this. Ananias and Sapphira, they showed up. They had a chance to tell the truth because everybody in church was giving. You know, and Renee was talking about giving. Some folks, they love giving, and some folks just want to look like they giving so that people think they was giving, but they really weren't. Ananias and Sapphira were like that. They gave, and they lied about how much they had really had to give. And Peter was like, you sure that's how much you got when you sold that property? Yep, that's all I got. And he was like, you know what? You about to drop dead and die right here. And he did. And I was sitting there going like, that's so cold. First of all, if you sell your house to give to the church, and you only give half the money, I would think the church would be like, cool, half is cool. But it was the lie about the fact that you said I gave it all. And I think about how many times I've lied. And how I should have been, they should have been, y'all should have been dragging me out to church too. But it is because of the grace of the cross, the grace of Jesus Christ, that death is not, he died for me, he died for you, so that when you sin, that is not your future. You don't have to experience death. So the first thing was that he paid the penalty and suffered, deals with the sin and its consequences. The second thing we said is salvation in the cross delivers us from the wrath of God. God, you know, God is holy and just. Because he's holy and just, he must judge our sin. And the consequences of that are that we become an object of God's wrath. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen in the Bible God's wrath show up, but you remember the flood? That's wrath. How would you feel if anybody ever felt like bad stuff just always happened to you? That still ain't nothing compared to the wrath of God. But Jesus' death on the cross took care of that so that you're not dealing with the wrath of God, but in fact, God calls you his friend now. Powerful thing. Now, number three, because of the cross and salvation, God redeems and forgive us. Now, this is one that I had to sit on for a little while because as believers, we understand that before I came to Christ, I messed up a lot and he forgave me and he wiped that slate clean. But what we forget is since I've been with Jesus, I still made some mistakes. And God is wiping all of those slate clean as well. And the catch for all of that is most of us, because the world tells you, you did wrong, you ought to feel real bad about what you did. Most of us are walking around feeling guilty about stuff that we did 10 years ago, post being a believer. And Jesus is like, I don't even remember what you're talking about. I have forgiven you. I've removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. Why are you walking around with your head down, feeling guilty, feeling like you ought to be punished for something that God already paid for? So we're beating ourselves up over stuff that Jesus already covered. It's almost like, why would he go die on the cross if you're going to beat yourself up anyway? And so I actually had some time this week, and in Bible study, we talked a little bit more about how much God loves us so much. And I used the story, and I want to share this briefly, about Abraham. Y'all know Abraham in the Bible? Abraham had this promise that God was going to make him a great nation, and he was going to have all these children. But Abraham was old, like real old. and like stuff was dried up in his body. The Bible even says his body was dried up. I was like, Sarah's eggs were so old, they was powdered. Like she couldn't get nothing coming out of that stuff, right? And yet God said, I'm gonna make you a great nation. And what got to me when I looked at all of this is Abraham went and had a baby with another woman, which in those days was fine because he thought that's how the promise was gonna come. And yet God said, you messed up, but I still got a promise. And I wanted to share with some of us that we think that we've messed up the promise and the gifts that God has for us because we did something wrong. And God is like, you know what? I already knew you was going to mess up when I told you I was going to give you that promise. And just because you messed up doesn't mean that the promise isn't still going to happen for you. And so you got to stop beating yourself up over the stuff and the decisions that you've made because you're feeling like I'll never get what God has for me because I messed this up so bad. And God is like, girl, bye. I knew that was going to happen. Matter of fact, that was a part of the whole process of getting you to the promise that I have for you. So stop tripping. You got to stop beating yourself up when you make a mistake. Because when you make a mistake, all you got to do, the Bible says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we walking around with our head down in shame because we messed up. And God is like, pick your head up. I paid for that already. So what? You messed up. Let's move on. Some of y'all are feeling like, you know, I'll never get married or I'll never be able to go do this and I'll never be able to have that. That's Satan lying to you. So stop worrying about making a mistake. Be free to choose to follow Jesus Christ. And if you're, because here's the thing about Abraham. When he went and had that baby with that other woman, by the way, first of all, Abraham didn't think about having that baby till his wife said, go ahead, that baby. I was like, first of all, you know, she was not a modern day sister. Ain't no possible way I'm telling my man to go have no baby with some other woman. That's the reason why Sarah hated her afterwards. I was like, dang, this is some reality TV stuff right here. Right? Abraham did not do it until Sarah said it. So I thought that was pretty interesting. That made him honorable, I thought. Or just a man. You choose what you want. But God still forgave. And when he thought Ishmael was going to be the one that was going to carry this promise, God said, no, Abraham. This promise is going to come from your own body and from your old wife's own body. And Abraham kind of laughed. He was like, are you sure? Yep. And then he said, well, what about Ishmael, God? Because even though he made a mistake, he loved that boy. And you know what God said? I'm going to bless him too. I'm going to make him great too. See, God will bless your mess too. So stop beating yourself up. So that to me is what it means to be saved. Here's point number four. Now this is new for this week. Point number four is salvation in the cross breaks the power of the enemy. Salvation in the cross breaks the power of the enemy. Too many believers are walking around like Satan got a lot more power than he really has. Well, the devil made me do it. Well, the devil's doing this to me. Oh, the devil's messing with me today. Y'all need to stop saying that mess because Satan ain't got no more power over you than what you've given him. Because when Jesus died on the cross, let me tell you what the Bible says, Colossians 2, 14 through 15. I want you to catch this. Jesus died on the cross and he said, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he, being Jesus, has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. That means all the laws, all of the consequences for your laws, Jesus nailed that to the cross. Now watch this, verse 15. Watch this. And having disarmed, somebody say disarmed, principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. Jesus on the cross took any weapon that Satan has, watch this, and he made a public spectacle and said, nee-nee-nee-nee-niner, I got that, I'm bigger than that, and I'm triumphing over whatever issue you got. You know what it means to disarm? Y'all don't know what it means. So see, y'all understand this. If you've ever been in war, people got a gun and they holding a gun and they'll hold it and point it at you. They have all the power. You're standing there helpless. What happens if somebody just come and take the gun out their hand? They now no longer have any power over you. They now no longer can do anything to you. And Satan has these words and Satan has these arrows that he's trying to throw at you. And Satan has these lies. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're never going to have this. You're never going to get what God has for you. And he's shooting these things at you. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ took that dart, that gun, that arrow, that flamethrower out of Satan's hand and disarmed him so that those words no longer have any power over you. Salvation means you already got victory. Salvation means Satan can't touch you. Salvation means that any problem that's coming your way, you can and you will defeat it and you will be victorious. This is what salvation means. When you say, yes, I believe that Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins, and you accept him as your Lord and Savior, you have just gotten the power to defeat Satan in every area of your life. So why do we walk around like I can't do nothing? We walk around in defeat like, you know, I be struggling with that. I actually had this talk with God last night, and then I reviewed my notes, and I was like, dang, you're right. This is what it means to be saved. I had some cake on Friday. Those of you who know me know how much I love cake. In the last year, I've lost 70 pounds. In the last week, I put on 10. Just kidding. That cake, I was like, man, I miss cake. And then I told the Lord, I said, God, I need your help because I feel like that cake is defeating me. You ever had a problem that you've been trying so hard to overcome? And that sucker keep coming back on you. And just when you think you got it defeated, it come right back. And you like, I suck. And I was reviewing my notes, and the Lord said, I have disarmed the power of the enemy in your life. You have power over cake. You have authority. He's like, your problem is you walking around like cake is more powerful than you. I was like, you're right, Jesus. He's like, what does it mean to be saved? It means you have the power over every difficult thing in your life that you struggle with. You ain't got to struggle with that no more. You sitting there like, I'm struggling in my marriage. I don't know how my marriage is going to ever get any better. I don't know. Stop saying that. No, God, we defeated the power of the enemy in this marriage. When both of us accepted Jesus Christ, and even if both of us haven't, one of us have, which means that's good enough. We got power over that. Some of y'all sitting up in school like, this class so hard, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Shut up. You have defeated the power of the enemy on those classes. Just get up and do what God's telling you to do. You will overcome. You will have victory. I don't know if anybody's going to ever want me. I don't know if anybody's going to ever, if I'm ever going to get me. Shut up. Stop saying that. Because what you are doing is you are giving the enemy more power over you than he really deserves. Because the truth is, he's been disarmed. And not only has he been disarmed, verse 15 said Jesus made a public spectacle of him. What does that mean? Why does the Bible say that? Satan thought he had Jesus when he died on the cross. Like, oh, you're the Son of God? You gonna come and say to people, ha 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 ha. That's why they were mocking him. What can you do now? If you was the Son of God, then why don't you come on off this cross? Jesus is like, I can't come off the cross. If I come off the cross, then all the stuff that comes with salvation ain't available to people anymore, so I got to hang here. But here's where the public spectacle came. 3 days later, Jesus is like, I'm back. So you thought you killed me, but I came back. See, there are things that you need to start speaking to and say, I know you thought you killed me, but I'm back. I know you thought I wouldn't overcome this, but I'm back. I know you thought I wouldn't make it, but I'm back. I know you thought I wouldn't be nothing because you know who my mama, my daddy is, because you said I'm just like my no good daddy, but you know what? I'm back. You got to start realizing the victory you have in Jesus Christ. And it came the moment. There's nothing you need to do to get it. There's nothing you need to do to be better at it. There's nothing you need to do to obtain. All you got to do is walk it out. Because the moment you said, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. So all of this is available to you. The victory happened right in that moment for you. These forces still exist in the world today, and they're causing trouble all over the world. But you need to know that you have victory. So I'm not saying you won't get messed with. I'm not saying the enemy won't bother you. I'm not saying you won't have these thoughts. I'm saying you got victory over it. Hebrews 2:14 says this, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death, watch this, he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. Jesus died on the cross and he destroyed Satan when he did. And when he did, verse 15 says, and released those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Jesus says you was fearing death and subject to bondage in your sin. And I came and I completely obliterated Satan on the cross. If Jesus did that and you believe in Jesus and this comes to you, then why are we walking around like we can't overcome stuff? The sickness you have, stop acting like I can't overcome it. Because I'm in pain. I get it, you're in pain, but you will be victorious. I get it, you're tired, but you will be victorious. I get it, you're stressed out, but you will be victorious. All you single moms, let me tell you something. You will be victorious. Your kid's crazy now. They will get better. In Jesus' name, we declare. Number five, the cross and salvation and the cross can bring physical healing. Salvation and the cross can bring physical healing. Isaiah 53:4 says, surely, I love that word. You know what surely means? Absolutely, positively, for sure. No doubt about it. No questions asked, no issues, no concerns. Look, without a shadow of a doubt, it's the same thing as when Jesus in the New Testament says, verily, verily, I say to you. That means absolutely, positively, 100% sure am I saying this to you, that he, being Jesus, has borne our griefs. And that word in the Hebrew means sicknesses and carried our sorrows. He bore your sickness and your disease and your pain and carried your sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. Verse 5, watch this. Verse 5. Okay, it's on my sheet. Oh, no, I don't have it. But anyway, surely he bore your sicknesses and carried your sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for your sin and your crap. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And here's my favorite line. And by his stripes we, that present tense, are healed. Look, watch this, y'all. You got to stop tripping when the doctors say you got some issue. No. Because I'm saved, I'm healed. The doctors are like, but I'm still seeing these things. Okay, you know what? Check this out. I know what your stuff is saying, but I'm going to be healed. I'm not, appreciate that, but I'm going to be healed. I had a doctor who, this lady, every fiber of my being wanted to choke her. Because I went to see her about a year and a half ago, and my blood pressure was, pre-hypertensive level. And she said, you need to lose some weight. She said, I'm going to give you a year to lose weight. I was like, great. I take that year, and I lose the weight. I come back. She's like, we don't recognize you. The computer literally did not recognize me. The computer was like, is this the right patient? And they had a picture and they were like, still doesn't look like you. And I go in and she's like, oh, super proud of you. My blood pressure was still elevated. She's like, well, I'm going to have to put you on medication. I said, I'm going to tell you something. You ain't going to put me on no medication. because I'm healed. She was like, no, you're not. I said, let me tell you something. You can do it your way, but I'm going to do it Jesus' way. I'm healed. I don't need your medication. And she literally wrote me a prescription. I said, you can write it all you want to. I'm not picking it up. She said, you need to pick it up. I said, I'm not going to do it. And I was sitting there praying, and I was like, God, am I being stubborn? And God was like, no, you're being saved. This is what it means to be saved. Now, don't get me wrong. I do believe medication will heal, but I knew that that wasn't the issue because a year ago, this woman told me that she says, well, we're going to take your blood and do your blood work, and you probably are pre-diabetic. I said, let me tell you something. I ain't no pre-diabetic. She was like, yeah, you probably are. I said, let me tell you this. Take the blood, and I'm going to call you, and we're going to talk about it. She took my blood work and came back, and guess what? There was no traces. I had no signs of being pre-diabetic. And I emailed her. I said, ha, I told you I don't have pre-diabetes. You can't tell why, because the Lord is working. The Lord's talking to me. I know what God has said to me. I know what I'm doing. But now, hear me. I'm not saying God can't use medicine to heal you. I'm not saying God can't use surgeries or things that the doctors have. But I'm telling you, when you walk with God and you're saved, you know what the Lord has said. You got victory over stuff. I'm not going to sit here and claim what you're telling me I got when I know I ain't got it. I had to go back to the doctors. I was having problems with my arm. I was like, man, why is my elbow was in pain? I thought I had broke it or something. I was like, I don't know how is it sleep. And you know, you get old. I thought maybe because I flung it in my sleep. And I woke up and I was in pain. And she's like, oh, you just got tennis elbow. I was like, dang, that feels deep. They took my blood pressure. It was elevated again. I was like, now when I'm at home, I don't have this problem. But it was a new doctor. She said, you know what? Things are coming. She said, let me take your blood pressure. She was like, oh, it's perfect. And she said, I don't know what's going on. I said, I wish you could tell that other doctor. She said, you have white coat hypertension, which means every time I come to the doctors, my blood pressure goes up. I was like, probably because of that crazy lady. And I sat there and I was like sitting going, I would have been taking medication for something that is not a problem, which would have caused more problems had I not understood what God was saying to me, that I am saved and I am healed. I don't have this issue. And so I praise the Lord for her, because if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have pushed to lose the 70 pounds. I praise the Lord for her, because if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be checking my blood pressure on a regular basis, which we all need to do. But the bottom line is when you know you healed and you know what the Lord's telling you to do, you look, don't be tripping over what these folks saying to you. Because you will always find a doctor that will say what the enemy wants him to say. Okay, y'all ain't never. I won't praise Jesus. All right, I'm gonna give you one more on that one, because you need another verse, because y'all think Isaiah 53 is isolated, but it's not. It's also found in the New Testament in 1 Peter 2:24, which says, "Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed." And the reason why he used past tense here was because, watch this, the work was done at the cross. Remember, the old was prophetic. This one, the work was done at the cross. So Peter's like, you already healed. So when you say I'm saved, that means you healed. You were made whole. Number six. Okay. Through the cross and salvation, we have deliverance from the finality of physical death. What does that mean? You are going to live for all eternity with the Lord. So stop being scared to die. Some of us walking around like, oh, I don't want to die, I don't want to die, I don't want to die. Okay, I get it. You scared of the pain. You don't know what's going to happen in the future, but you saved. I'm going to be with the Lord. I ain't got to walk around with this fear of death. I'm also not going to be jumping out of planes. I'm going to tell you something. When you grow up in the hood, you got enough stuff happening and coming against your life that you ain't got to create no more drama to have an adrenaline rush. Just waking up in the hood is an adrenaline rush. Y'all been in the hood and you hear stuff popping off and you don't know if it's gunshots or a car backfiring. See, that's the adrenaline rush. I don't got to jump out of no plane to get that adrenaline rush. But for those of you who do, God bless you. But I don't fear death. 2 Timothy 1:10, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through Christ. Jesus got victory over death. 1 Corinthians 15:54 says, so when this corruptible, being our body, has put on incorruption, which will be the new body, and this mortal has put on the immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? When a believer dies, we call it a homegoing celebration. And we miss them and we're sad, but we know we will see them again. That's the exciting part. I think that was an easy one. The last thing, number seven, is salvation in the cross brings reconciliation. Brings reconciliation. Reconciliation means to restore fellowship after being estranged. God created us to have constant fellowship with him. Adam and Eve just jacked that all up. And then the fall of Adam and Eve brought in sickness, disease, pain, physical death, and spiritual separation from God. We had no hope, but God himself did something. He sent Jesus Christ to die for us. And the cross brought a reconciliation, meaning everything that we originally had in the garden, we got back through the cross. Y'all remember that sweet fellowship God had? He would walk in the cool of the garden in the day to talk to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve was butt naked and without shame. Y'all don't want to praise God. It's a reconciliation. It's a restoration of everything that we had. They didn't have any worries about money. They didn't have any worries about sickness. They didn't have any worries about disease. They didn't have any worries about anything. And that's what the cross did. When we get saved, you need to think of yourself as back in the state like in the garden. Where all Jesus was, Father God told them, be fruitful and multiply. Have dominion. That's all you got to be focused on. If you do that, you'll begin to understand the power of what God has done. Romans 5:10 talks about this reconciliation. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We were brought back to God. So, what does it mean to be saved to you? What does your salvation mean? This is why it can't be, you have to remember this each and every day. This is not something that we just say, I do at the altar and I'll walk away with. No, God wants every part of my life to be made whole. Now, because of this, I have access to God, that I can go to him with confidence, the Bible says. We can come into his presence with a full confidence that God hears us and that he loves us and that he will never leave us or forsake us. Our salvation means we are full members of the family of God with all rights and privileges. We have the inheritance that God has for us. Our salvation means that we can cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy, heal, Daddy, come. And he will say, yes, child, I'm here. Our salvation means that God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Salvation means that even though my mom and father might forsake me, Father God will never, ever, ever forsake me. Having salvation means I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging for bread. Having salvation means that God is great and he is faithful towards me. Having salvation means that I have total access to God whenever I need him. Having salvation means I stand under an open heaven and whatever I need, I can just go up to the Father and say, God, I need, and he releases it. Having salvation means I have complete healing. Having salvation means that God has defeated the enemy in my life, and there is nothing Satan can do to me. There is no problem that I cannot overcome. There is no sin that I cannot get over. I declare in the name of Jesus that having salvation means that Jesus took my misery and my guilt, and he gave me joy, and he gave me peace, and he gave me hope, and he gave me a future. Having salvation means Jesus took my sin and he killed it on the cross so that it never has an effect on me again. Having salvation means that I have eternal life with Almighty God, and that's something that I have to look forward to. What does having salvation mean to you? What does it mean to be saved? There's an old song that says this, and I'm going to close with this one. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. You're reconciled to God. You're saved. Everybody stand to your feet. I'm going to have you repeat some things after me because I want you to get this. I want you to say it out of your mouth today. Would you say this after me? Say, I am reconciled to God. I am a child of God. Christ's victory on the cross was my victory as well. I yield my mind and my body to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin will not rule over me. Sickness will not rule over me. Satan will not rule over me. I renounce the devil and all his works. I am victorious. I am victorious. I am victorious in Jesus Christ because of the blood of Jesus. I am saved. I am set free. I am delivered. I am healed. I am free in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, everybody, give the Lord a hand praise.